This episode of Bun in the Oven is sponsored by The Bump Plan. Given the theme of this podcast, I imagine that some of you are currently pregnant or planning a family. So many women I know just aren't sure how to move their body safely during this changing time. Or they want to stay active but need someone to show them the way and hold their hand. That's where The Bump Plan comes in. The Bump Plan is a holistic prenatal fitness plan that allows you to work out with confidence at each trimester of your pregnancy. Founded by myself, Holly Grant, the Bump Plan has already helped over 10,000 pregnant women stay active safely and feel empowered throughout their pregnancies. Through its trimester-specific workouts, in which I'm always at the same stage of my pregnancy as you will be in yours, hypnobirthing subscription and extensive education hub, you'll feel supported and part of a welcome community. Let me help you move safely through your pregnancy, maintain your fitness and strength, and enter parenthood strong and prepared for all the demands it poses. As a listener of Bun in the Oven, I'm offering you £5 per month off the cost of your monthly subscription to the Bump Plan, simply by entering the code BUN at checkout. To get started today, simply head to pilatespt.co.uk/the-bump-plan and enter the code BUN at checkout. That's B-U-N in lowercase to get £5 off the monthly cost of the Bump Plan. Join our community today and stay strong throughout your pregnancy. Man meets woman, man marries woman, man has sex with woman, woman gets pregnant. This is the story we so often hear about how children are made, but this is just not the reality for everyone. My name's Holly Grant. I'm the founder of The Bump Plan and you're listening to Bun in the Oven, a podcast that explores the myriad of challenges and routes to becoming and being a parent. For the last 11 years, I've worked across the globe as a Pilates instructor and advanced pre- and postnatal fitness specialist. During that time, I've worked with thousands of people, have heard hundreds of stories about fertility, infertility, pregnancy, and parenthood, and have learned so much about the often rocky road to becoming a parent, which I find fascinating. Bun in the Oven will dive into the many different ways children are brought into this world and what parenting really involves. I hope you find this podcast a huge source of support and that it helps open all our minds. In this week's episode, we'll be talking about the current challenges faced by Black women and birthing people during pregnancy and after childbirth. My guests are the amazing founders of the organisation Five Times More, Tanuka Awe and Chloe Arbe.
One of our key asks of the campaign is that Black women need to be involved at every single level of the decision making, because as white people, as a white man or white woman, you don't know what it's like. So you can't be making decisions on my behalf. If you don't have Black women in these positions where they are making decisions that pertain to Black women, you're going to have more of the same, which is clearly what has been happening over the years.
Five Times More is a grassroots organisation committed to changing Black women and birthing people's maternal health outcomes in the UK. It was initiated in 2019 when two Black mothers, Tanuka and Chloe, came together with the dream of improving maternal mortality rates and healthcare outcomes for Black women. Five Times More is dedicated to supporting mothers and birthing people with its campaigning work and recommendations. It focuses on empowering Black women and birthing people to make informed choices and advocate for themselves throughout their pregnancies and after childbirth. In this episode, we discuss the worrying statistics surrounding Black women and birthing people in the UK, what is currently being done to reduce these figures, and how we can all help support Five Times More in their goal of improving the statistics as soon as possible. Tanuka and Chloe, whilst feeling this cause is their calling, work incredibly hard whilst also raising their own children. We do have another gorgeous little guest in this podcast, Tanuka's one-year-old daughter Eden, so I hope you enjoy the occasional squeals of excitement you hear in the background. Hi to Tanuka and Chloe. It's so lovely to have you both on today's podcast. And thank you so much for carving out the time, because you both have children. You both have really, really important jobs. So it means so much to me that you take the time to talk today. And how I would love to start is just to get a bit of an idea of who you are and your background and why you have ended up in this calling, I guess, with Five Times More. So Tanuka, did you want to go first?
Thank you so much for having us on the podcast today. So in terms of background and how we got to £5 More, it's basically I had my son in 2017. He's 4 years old. And it was quite a traumatic experience. I felt like I just wasn't listened to. I don't want to go into too many details, but I had preeclampsia. I was induced. That whole experience was just terrible. I wasn't listened to at all. And I ended up having an assisted delivery, which I believe could have been avoided. So I had that traumatic experience. And then I actually started up a social network for Black mums, because actually I felt like I was the only young Black mum going to all the like baby groups and play and plays and children's centers, even though I live in quite a quote-unquote urban area. I hate that word, but like there's, you know, the demographics are that there's quite a lot of Black people in Southeast London, you know. So I was just like, where are we, why are we not coming out, what's going on? So I decided to sort of create a network where Black mums could come, get out of the house, beat social isolation, come and make a mummy friend, you know. And obviously, when mums get together, they chat, they talk about labour experiences, you know, when it's your first time, it's your new baby, you share experiences, you talk about, you know, any and everything. But what I kept finding was that my experience was not an isolated one. A lot of like the Black mums that I was talking to had very similar experiences of, again, just not being listened to, not being taken seriously, and having further complications during their labour experiences. It's Eden, baby Eden in the background. Sorry, guys. Disclaimer. And so that led me to, you know, in 2018, so the year after, I gave birth to my son and I started Mums and Tea around the same time. So about a year after, I would say, the statistics came out that, oh, you know, Black women are 5 times more likely to die during pregnancy and childbirth. And I looked at it and I thought, 5 times? That's really strange. But I'm not surprised, because of everything that I have been hearing in the, you know, the community of Black mothers that I serve, of just having bad, poor experiences and just, you know, it was blowing my mind. I did my research, I did further research into it, and I realized this isn't a new statistic. Like, Black women have actually had, you know, a higher risk of dying in comparison to white women for decades. Like, 2018 was not the first time that this has happened. So it was quite worrying. And you know, even like speaking to my mom, you know, when I was doing like further research, speaking to my mom and, oh, mom, what was it like giving birth to you and me and my siblings? She was brought to tears, you know, on some of those occasions, like speaking about how she was treated. And it could have happened yesterday. I felt like something needed to be done, and urgently. So that's why I joined forces with Chloe. She runs Prosperities and she's going to tell you all about what she does. But I was like, no, we need to scream and shout about this until something is actually done. And it's not just screaming and shouting. I need action. There needs to be action. We can't, you know, I love the community that I serve so much. I'm so passionate about Black women and Black motherhood. And I just felt like it was just an injustice that we had to, you know, we clearly did not create the problem, but we sure as hell wanted to be a part of that solution, you know, because I just felt like, you know, so if we don't do anything now, I have a daughter, like, is she going to be campaigning about the same thing in, you know, 25, 30 odd years time, whenever she decides to give birth? So yeah, that's how 5 Times More came about. And I think Chloe can maybe give you a little bit more in terms of like maybe what we've done and what we've achieved over the years. But yeah, that started in 2019 officially. And yeah, it's been a roller coaster. and we've done a lot in a short amount of time, but I'm proud of where we are. So yeah, Chloe, do you want to tell everyone like about your, like what you do with Prosperities and kind of what we've done with 5 Times More. Sorry, Holly, I'm taking over your job here.
Yeah, hey, I'm just gonna go get a cup of tea. Thank you so much. Yeah, Chloe, go ahead.
Yeah, so when Tanuka first initially approached me with the idea, it was only supposed to be an event. So she was like, you know what? I love what you do supporting moms, because what I do prosperity is I support Black and South Asian moms in the community. So I give them free doula support, free counselling support, and I do free events just to raise a bit of awareness. So with what I do, and I also used to work at NHS as well, on the maternity ward. So she's like, with what you do and the connections you have, let's get together and let's do an event. And I was like, yes, let's do an event, thinking it was going to be a one-off and that was it. And the more we started planning around the event, the more we realised this is a big issue. And Tanuka as a doer, she said something, she's like, we need to do it. And I'm a doer as well. So it just made sense. And then we came up with 5 times more, and here's where we are. And we didn't expect it to be this far, but we are this far. So we launched our petition last year, which is an award-winning petition, actually. And it's it received 1,870,000 signature. And within, was it 2 months to look at? It was really quick.
It was about, I mean, when it got popular, it took about a week to reach 100,000 signatures.
That's amazing.
And then the fact that Black women was debated in Parliament for the first time, that was amazing. We didn't get the result we wanted, but at least it was debated. That was the whole thing. The fact that now people caring about Black women and Black birthing people and what's really happening with the statistics. So that's what we've done so far. I can't remember what the question was, but we've done so much. We have done a lot, and I'm sure throughout this podcast we'll say more.
And so, Chloe, you've also got kind of the medical background as well. So you mentioned that you were working at the NHS in a maternity ward. Is that right?
Yes. So I worked as a healthcare assistant, and I worked in a hospital called Homerton, and then I went to work in St. George's Hospital as well. And it was nice to work on the wards because I got to see everything. So I worked in triage. So if your water's broken, that's where you go. You go to triage, or reduced fetal movement, you go to triage. I also worked on delivery suites. I saw loads of babies being born, forceps delivery, vaginal birth. I worked in theatres. I saw C-sections, home births. I saw water birth. I saw so many births. And I felt like I wasn't qualified to be there, but I needed to be there to see what was really happening and to see the type of training that the midwives were getting. And I love Homerton because they have a big Jewish population. So when you do training there, they tell you about the Jewish community. So I was aware of the Jewish community, because sometimes when you're not aware of certain communities, you don't know what to say and how to say things. So you kind of isolate yourself from that person. But the training that we had was so amazing that if I saw a Jewish woman, I knew what to say. If I saw a Jewish man and he wasn't looking at me, I knew it's because that's their religion. They don't look at women in the face. I knew on Friday evening to Saturday, they don't use electronics, so that when they can't press the buzzer. So I knew to listen out for the cause of women saying help and stuff like that. So it makes you aware. It really does make you aware. And then when I went to St. George's, I worked in fetal medicine. So I saw a lot of complicated birth. I saw ways that doctors were speaking to women and birth people the right way. And that's where inclusive language really matters, because in St. George's Hospital, there was a lot of transgender pregnant birthing people, saw a lot of lesbians, the first father gave birth. So it made me aware of the language that we use. So that's why now we say, you know, Black women and birthing people, where before being to look at be like Black women and just assume it meant everyone. So from working those two areas, it really, really did help me out. And I'm part of the MVP. So Tanuka is the MVP for for Greenwich Hospital, and that's the Maternity Boys Partnership. So we help co-produce and co-design maternity services in our local area. So I do it for Lambeth and St. Thomas Hospital. So we go out to women who've given birth. So we call them service user, which is not a proper word, but service user. So we go out to women and birthing people who have given birth, and we helped, we use their feedback and their experience to better other services. Or if we want to have new services, we use that. So when we didn't have partners, we had to get together with the hospital and say, you know, how can we allow partners to go in? So we had to fight for partners to be allowed in. So that's what we do as MVPs.
So Chloe, you just mentioned about how in Homerton, you got training on kind of some of, well, about the Jewish community and kind of some of the considerations. Is that quite common in the NHS? Because that sounds really, really helpful and thoughtful and insightful. Is that common?
Not that I'm aware of, because I didn't get the same training at St. George's Hospital, but that's probably because they're very, very diverse, so they didn't feel like they should train us all one particular ethnicity or race, I'm assuming. But I'm sure if I went to another hospital where they had a big community, or maybe the Gypsy community, maybe there'd be some sort of training. It's just that Homerton has a big community of Jewish people, and it just makes sense to train us, so we are aware. So yes, I can't talk about any other hospital, but I know Homerton, yeah, they were spot on. They knew, right. Even like the kosher food, because I didn't know nothing. The kosher food, how, you know, when you give them cutlery, it has to be in plastic, you can't touch it. I didn't know none of it. So it really, really did help me to not make a mistake, because I knew, I was aware of what I should do, what I shouldn't do. And it just helped, it makes life so much better, honestly.
And it breaks down boundaries as well.
That's it.
As a Jewish woman going into hospital, you know, you're feeling supported and heard. And it breaks some of that awkwardness down of having to ask for things to be changed. Hi, Eden. we've got a little friend. So then going back to, I guess, the reason why we're here. So the statistic that Black women and birthing people are 5 times more likely to die during childbirth is such a, I mean, it just gives you goosebumps even just hearing it. It's shocking that it's such a high statistic. And that was kind of confirmed, or your worries, Tanuka, were confirmed when the Embrace report came out. Is that correct? So is that the report that kind of clarified your concerns?
Yeah, that's correct. So back in 2018, 2019, it was 5 times more, hence why we've got the name 5 times more. That's where that was derived from. In 2020, last year, the number went down to 4 times. However, it wasn't statistically significant, so we still say 4 to 5 times more. I think at this point, and we probably should have said this in the beginning, at this point, we should note that, you know, maternal mortality, or like, you know, women dying during birth, during labour and afterwards, it's actually quite rare in the UK. The UK is actually one of the safest places to give birth, like globally. But there is a disparity in who is dying, and that's what we are campaigning about. So obviously Black women account for a very small number of births, but they account for a very large number of who is dying, and there's obviously clearly a huge disparity there. But for me, the Embrace report in 2018 and further reports have just confirmed, like you said, all of my concerns. They confirm what we know to be true, and it doesn't stop at mortality, it doesn't stop at death. It's also that we're more likely to, you know, I think for about, the statistic is about for every one woman that dies, there's about 100 more behind them who are suffering from poorer outcomes, from morbidity, from PTSD, from, do you know what I mean? Like other things that are undiagnosed. And it's really sad to know that, you know, Black women are at a higher risk of a lot of things. It's not just that, it's miscarriage, you know, the fertility rates, and there's so much in there. And it doesn't limit itself just to maternity services as well. It's everywhere within healthcare, cancer, like, you know, it's everywhere. And it's just really sad. It's concerning, and we know that more needs to be done to understand why. And I think for us, it was like, well, okay, you keep screaming about the fact that Black women are 5 times more, but what are you doing about it? You know, like Chloe said before, we're about action. Like even when we launched 5 times more sort of officially, it was, yeah, we're trying to raise awareness about this 5 times more statistic, but we have our 5 recommendations. At the time it was 5, now it's 6. We have our 5 recommendations for Black women so that they can, you know, feel like they can feel more empowered and can advocate for themselves. Because it's like, well, it's almost scaremongering, right? You're saying, well, you're 5 times more likely to die. Okay, well, what else? What's next? What can we do? What are you doing about it? We just didn't feel like something, it wasn't quite, do you know what I mean? It wasn't quite going together. So yeah, that's why we're very action-based. Like Chloe mentioned, we had a petition. So we were like, well, we need to get people in government. We need to get them to pay attention, because this is a real thing and it's been happening for a long time, and we've just had enough. We recently launched the Black Maternal Health All-Party Parliamentary Group. So we have a group of cross-party MPs who are, we come together, we talk about these issues, and they push it further in Parliament. So we've had our April Advocacy Month. We are raising awareness. You know, it's important for us to raise awareness because you can't change something you don't know about. So that's first and foremost, but we're dedicated to making sure that this is changed. We have so many different uses of our hashtag on social media. We have so many followers on social media, and we have our awareness week. We're trying, you know, everything to make sure that, number one, yes, people know about it, but they also know what they can do, you know, to change it. We offer free hypnobirthing. I mean, gosh, the list is literally endless. For us, it was Embrace have said, yeah, you're 5 times more likely to die, but I think what grabbed me and what really grabbed my attention, and when we give our presentation, we will say action is needed to address this disparity. We didn't feel like there was any action being done, because if there was, we wouldn't be 5 times more. Over the years, the number has gone up. It hasn't gone down. So clearly action is needed. And that's really what spurred the movement. And that's what spurred us to, you know, be so action-based and just try to, you know, change things. And I'm going to stop talking.
Yeah, no, just touching on a few of those things. You're right, because I guess the danger is by sharing that statistic, you know, it might make Black women and birthing people feel more anxious. And so it does need to be followed up with action, which you guys are doing an incredible job of. Going back to that Embrace report, did it have any kind of insight into why they believe there's such a disparity? And if not, do you have any thoughts on why there might be such a difference?
Do you want me to take this one to Nuke? So we're dying from the same thing that white women are dying from, mixed ethnicity women are dying from, and Asian people dying from, and birthing people are dying from. It's not a particular thing that, you know, because we're Black, we're dying from like obesity, or we're dying from, you know, smoking or heart disease. We're dying from the same thing. And really, when you look at the report, it doesn't actually tell you, okay, these Black people are dying from this and this and this and that. It doesn't really tell, it doesn't really break it down like that. So it's really hard to figure out what can we do to better, you know, support Black women. It talks about, you know, indirect and direct effects, that's why the woman will die, but it's not really, like I said, when you see the report, it's one of those reports that you're reading, it's like, okay, I still don't know why. I'm reading the report and I'm seeing that Black women are dying, or these people are dying, but why? There's still, the why is not there, and they don't have an answer for it. And this is why me and Nika are doing what we're doing, because we want an answer, because we want to better support Black women. Because with the support that we do, when we hear Black women saying, I'm scared to give birth, it's heartbreaking. You don't want them to say, I'm scared to give birth. Like Nika said earlier, it's relatively safe to give birth in the UK. We got a low rate of women dying and birth people dying, but yeah, obviously Black women die more. But we want them to be able to give birth and feel safe. You know, I had one say, I'm scared to close my eyes when I went to hospital. And she was 21. I was like, baby, that's not it. Oh, so I shouldn't call her baby, but I was like, baby girl, that's not it. Do you know what I mean? So I've gone off on tangent, just like, yeah, Tanika, so does.
But you're not trying to scaremonger, and it must have been really frustrating, yeah, for you to keep seeing that statistic and like looking through the report, like, okay, so where's the recommendations? Like, where's the reasoning? So how are we going to change this? Because I guess unless you know the reasons why this is happening, it's very difficult to know what needs changing.
Yeah. So they actually used our recommendation in the last report last year that came out. So we had recommendations that we wrote up with RCOG, Royal College and Guyanese. So the recommendation that we did with them, they put that up for the health professionals, and the recommendation that we did for the mothers and birthing people, they put that up there. So that was their recommendation. So hopefully that can kind of help, but it's still not, I think more needs to be done, you know. The recommendation of simple stuff like listen to a woman who you're speaking to, body language, it's not rocket science, you know. It's more than that. I believe it's more than that. Telling them to listen, well, you should be listening anyway. So why am I telling you now to listen? You're a midwife, that's what you do. There's more to it, but we just need to uncover it, and they just need to put a target to it, and that's it. But like I said, because not a lot of Black women are dying, they can't put a target to it, which I'm still trying to get my head around how that works. I don't know.
And whilst it's amazing that they took your recommendations and put them into such a big report, in, I mean this in the nicest possible way, you're a charity that are coming into this because of a personal calling, and you're shocked this is happening. You're not in the medical industry doing research, and it just shows the lack of, I guess, research going into it, if they're having to rely on the recommendations coming from you guys as a charity rather than coming from within the NHS and from within like solid research.
I mean, we are still waiting on Minister Nadine Dorries for what she said that she was going. So the second debate that we had in Parliament in September for our Awareness Week, she said that she was going to come back with potentially a target, or, you know, to just come back with a response, which we're still waiting on. No shade. But let me take this back so you kind of get a picture of sort of our frustrations and why we keep doing, why we, you know, we're doing what we do. So in April of this year, we had the first debate happen in Parliament following our petition. And at the time, there was a survey going around asking for women's experiences. In the petition debate, the minister, Nadine, said that Black women are highly underrepresented in the data that they have collected. Now, that didn't shock me. And we thought, well, you know what? I'm tired of hearing Black women don't do this, Black women don't fill out this, we can't find Black women. It's rubbish. It's rubbish. I'll be honest. It's rubbish because I'm a Black woman. I know how to find Black women. You know, I speak to Black women all the time. So what we decided to do was come up with our Black maternity experience survey. And with that survey, we launched it, a huge survey, over 200 questions. We're gathering as much data as possible on Black women and birthing people's experiences of giving birth or pregnancy and labor experiences in the last 5 years. We got 500 responses in the first 24 hours. Wow. And it was an all Black led panel. We had all Black professionals, Black organizations helping us with the experience and survey. And for us, it was like, well, these are all the Black women you can't find. But one of our key asks of the campaign is that Black women need to be involved at every single level of the decision making, because as white people, as a white man or white woman, you do not know what it is like to walk a day in my shoes as a Black woman. You don't know what it's like, so you can't be making decisions on my behalf. Doesn't make sense. It does not make sense. There's a disconnect there. If you don't have Black women in these positions where they are making decisions that pertain to Black women, you're going to have more of the same, which is clearly what has been happening over the years, you know?
Sorry to cut you, but also they need us to let them know what we need.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of decisions that I think, a lot of decisions that are made, and then they say, oh, you know, black people are not interacting with these services, are not doing this. We never asked for it. We actually did ask for it. I remember they put on a Zumba class and for ethnic minorities, and no one came. Did you ask us? Who told you we wanted to do Zumba? You know, it needs to make sense. And this is why we say you need to involve us at every point. It's not when you make up the decision. So I've been on so many stakeholder meetings, roundtable. They come up with a decision and they ask you, what do you think? You come up with it already. What I'm going to say is not going to matter because you already come up with it. You just want to hear my opinion. And they do that a lot. And they will now come and take pictures and say, oh yeah, we did this together with that diverse group. I remember I got a phone call, email one time, says, yes, there was 8 people in colour on the call. I was like, why is that relevant? You didn't say there was 3 white women, 8 people of colour. You said there was 8 people of colour. Why is that relevant? And it just made me think that sometimes I feel like they just do things, put us on it, to make it look like we are involved when we haven't done nothing.
It's tokenistic. It's tokenistic. It's not well thought through at all. It's just, oh well, we're doing this for them, but let's involve them at the end bit. You know, it's just, how is this making sense? I think this is part of the reason, like I was saying, we're in the same position. It's getting worse. It's not something that has, oh, it was, you know, 10 times more in 1991 and now it's gone down to 5. No, it was 3. It's gone up over the years. You're clearly not doing something right, you know? And I just think enough is enough. Stop saying you can't find black women. Stop making decisions that we have nothing, no control over, that pertain to us and our health and our bodies and our babies, the future. Stop doing all of this. That's why it's important that they work, you know, with organizations such as ourselves. And there are so many organizations out there that are doing amazing work, you know, so many. We are not the first people to raise the alarm of this statistic and this disparity. We are not. But yeah, I think it's important that, I think the whole point of me, you know, what I was trying to say is that our experience survey is a clear example of why black women need to be at the forefront, especially when it comes to decisions that pertain to them. Full stop. You know, we ended that survey with over 1,300 responses from black women, and it's a survey that touches on miscarriage, it touches on stillbirth, it touches on people who are currently pregnant and going through maternity services all the way up until 5 years. This data is like gold, but the people in power and the people, they can't seem to find black women. It's not making sense.
Hard enough.
Yeah.
It's not a good enough excuse.
And that's what's frustrating. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not trying hard enough. Because if you tried hard enough, you would know that we are here. You would know how to find these black women. We're not hiding. It's like sometimes when we give these talks and we hear from health professionals, oh, well, how do we talk to black women? We're not giving birth in the street. We're giving birth in the hospitals, the same hospitals that white women are giving birth in. We're not some exotic creature that are, you know, so unreachable and hard to find. You're just not doing the work. You're not doing enough of it. And that's why we are where we are.
I'm actually laughing because you'd be surprised. And that question, the first time I got asked that question, it was from a senior midwife who worked in patient safety. And I was like, what?
So how are you speaking to them in the first place?
And I asked her the question, how are you speaking to them in the first place? Because to ask me a question, I need to understand what you're doing. She's like, oh, we're talking to church leaders and community groups. But you have them, they give birth in the hospital. Why are you talking to community leaders? What is a community leader going to do to that woman who's in the bed in the hospital right now? Nothing. Talk to the woman, ask her need. And it goes back to when I talked about Homerton, when you don't know about a certain culture, you isolate yourself from them because you don't know how to speak to them. So maybe they do need to do more training on it, because how are you asking me, how do I talk to black women? And we get told this a lot, or we get told there needs to be more black women in the system. No, this, what? I'm just like, please make it make sense. We're just like white women, we're just like Asian women, we're like mixed race women. You can speak to us. You're not gonna speak to us and we're gonna bite your head off. Me and Tanuka are kind, are we not? We're smiling. Look at us, you know what I mean? So yeah, when we get asked that question, my eyes, I'm just like, Tanuka, just answer, please. Like,
there's so many touch points as well before labour, so many midwife appointments where midwives can make a difference. And it doesn't need to be that we're leaving it so long before we start considering it. And you know, it's really helpful, you guys saying stuff and spelling it out. Like, you know, if there are people making decisions about how black women and birthing people are treated, then you should have black women and birthing people involved in that decision making. I mean, it seems so obvious. Yet it obviously hasn't been happening, but that is a reality for many different areas as well, which we know. So then I guess that's given me a bit of an insight into what your research and speaking to people and living in this world for so long has given us, that you don't think there's people in power who are Black who are able to help in make decisions. People are saying that they're not managing to reach Black women or be able to speak to them, which is absolute rubbish. They're not trying hard enough. Are there any other things that you think might be influencing this statistic that is maybe even like an easy win?
Oh, that's a good question. We like quick wins because we need them. Let's be real. I think similar to what Chloe was saying before, when it's so you know, why is this happening? What we don't want to do is be like, oh, it's because of preeclampsia, or it's because of this, or because that ultimately puts the blame on Black women, and that makes it sound as if, you know, our bodies are the ones that are shit. We can't give birth properly. Our bodies are, you know, we can't carry.
Sorry to cut you, Tanuka, but even if it is preeclampsia,
yeah,
that's avoidable.
Yes, it is treatable. I mean, my experience with that is I wasn't diagnosed with preeclampsia until 38 weeks. 38 weeks, full term. I'm walking around with a very preventable, but very life-threatening condition for both myself and my unborn child. You can treat that with an aspirin tablet. It just doesn't make sense. When you try to say, oh, it's because of this, it's because of that, and it's not good enough, because these things, you know, like Chloe said, are treatable. You can't put the blame on Black women, because then that shifts it away from the health professionals and the people who are actually, you know, causing harm. Let's be real. Some of them are, not all of them. We're not here to say all midwives and all health professionals are racist. They're terrible. No, it's not like that. It's not that. It's not that at all. It's not everybody's racist. But it's also that, look, there's clearly a consistent theme of Black women not being listened to and not feeling like they're being heard. So there needs to be something in that, you know? There's a lot of different factors at play. Let's be real. You can't pin it on one thing.
Yeah, but even like Chloe just said, even if they were going to blame preeclampsia, the whole point of midwife appointments and the whole point of the NHS is to be able to find those things out and nip them in the bud. So again, it still wouldn't be your body's fault. So why isn't that? Why wasn't that found earlier?
There's lots of factors, and I always talk about, you know, myths, stereotypes, that plays a factor. And to look at situation, nothing was documented. So one of our recommendations is for the woman, she has document stuff, and one of the recommendations for the health professional, document stuff. These are easy things. And like, we know midwives are amazing. I had one. Oh, my midwife was amazing. Oh, lovely white woman. Because I always say this is not a colour thing. It's not because your midwife is white that you're potentially gonna die. Doesn't work like that. I've heard that already as well. And they were like, oh my God, my midwife's white, I don't want her. Why? And this is why me and Tanuka try to be very positive what we do. We don't want women to think it's a colour thing, because the midwife is white, you will die. Because she's Black, you'll be alive. No. And then another thing is, it's after pregnancy you're most likely to die, not during pregnancy and birth. People don't seem to understand that. They think, I'm pregnant, I will die. I'm going to give birth, I will die. No, it's the after bit. So the after bit, this way you have to really know your body, really look after yourself, because you're most likely to die afterward. And not just Black women, but women in general, the statistics is after birth. So anyone listening to this saying you're not Black, if you feel like, you know, your body, you're in pain or your body doesn't feel right, don't take it as the thing as, this is normal, because I remember I had depression. I was like, this is normal. I'm a first-time mom. Seek help. Make sure you do speak up. And this is for everyone, not just as a Black woman, just for everyone in general. You're most likely going to die during postnatally than during childbirth and pregnancy. So if things don't feel right, please seek support. And this is me not trying to scare you, just us trying to raise awareness.
No, that's really, really important information, because you're right. Again, that statistic it's understandable, especially if you're pregnant, that you would worry that the biggest day of your life, labor, everything you've been building up to is where things could go wrong. And actually, that's really great advice, because you go home and you crack on and you put yourself to the very bottom of the list. And maybe you don't talk about things because you think, well, I've got nothing to compare it to. I've not had a baby before. And so actually, that's really, really sound advice. So essentially, there's a lot of research needed. There's a lot of campaigning needed, which you guys are just doing such an incredible job of. So I guess what you're really pushing for is Parliament to assign more money to research and to realise that it's as important as you guys realise it is.
So, okay, I'm gonna give you something to compare it to. Now, in America, they have a very, very similar problem. I think even in some places, like in America, maybe New York, don't quote me on that, but it can be up to seven times more that Black women have a higher risk. Now, they had a Black Maternal Health Week earlier in the year, and there was recently some money, a lot of money allocated to try and combat this disparity. We can't even get a target from the government here in the UK. So just to show you that there is that, you know, are they really taking it as seriously as they should over here? You know, there's a lot of work to be done. In America, they do have, you know, the government is committed to helping them, and we are just here like, can we even get a target?
Please, yeah.
Like, can you please just commit to a target? Because you know this is a thing, but if you don't have a target to end it, how do you know what you're working towards?
So when you say a target, do you mean sort of like we want it to be that in 5 years' time there is no difference?
Yeah, of course. Us personally as an organization, we're going to keep going until we are level with white women, until it's zero, you know? But yes, there needs to be in 5 years' time, we'd like to do this. And I know there's one for continuity of care. Now, that is, and what they say is, you know, that it's going to improve outcomes, especially for Black women, women from lower socioeconomic statuses and backgrounds and stuff like that. That's fine. I think in my case, having maybe the same midwife, because I had a different midwife every appointment, maybe if I had the same one, they could have picked up on my high blood pressure and my protein in my urine, which, you know, it essentially led to the preeclampsia. I'm not disputing that. But in theory, how does continuity of care work? Do the midwives themselves want to do it? And that's not the target is not until like a couple of years' time, and it's only supposed to hit maybe 75% of the Black population. It's not going to hit everyone. And I just think, well, what else is there? Okay, you've got continuity of care, but what else? What else? How else are you doing this?
For me, continuity of care is an excuse, because it's just saying, because you don't have continuity of care, this is why you're dying, and you've got bad, you're not getting the right treatment. My first pregnancy, the pregnancy I always smile about when I talk about, my midwife, I literally just met her 2 hours and I gave birth. She was amazing. Do you know why she was amazing? Because she took me as I am. She gave me personalized care. I came into the hospital. She was like, hi, how are you? What's your name? My name's Chloe. She asked me how I would like to be called. I said, Chloe. She's like, okay, let me see. She's like, oh, you're a brave girl. You're 8 centimeters. You're so brave. I remember asking for epidural and a C-section. Obviously, first time mum, you don't know nothing. You just say whatever you hear on TV. And she was like, no, you can't get it, but this is the reason why. But if you feel, as she said, the reason why is because I feel like you're too far gone, but I'll give you gas and air. And if you feel that gas and air is not working, then we look at your other options and we go back. So she informed me, and even though she said no, I still felt like I was in charge of my own birth. And she was like, you're doing so well. I believe in you. You're amazing. And I was like, yes, I am amazing. I am doing well. And then, okay, but I literally just met her. So when I'm hearing continued care, having the same midwife, I understand Tanuka's situation, yes. But at the same time, Tanuka's situation, if it was written down, she would have been fine. So we have to look at that at it like that. If you've got a complicated birth and or, you know, your pregnancy is complicated, you have continuity of care, that makes so much sense. But if you're like me or to look at second pregnancy where there's no complication, just giving us that personalised care really matters. And in terms of finance as well, what I was going to say is the thing about finances, they will put money into it, but what's the money going towards? That's the thing. Okay, we're going to put a target. Is the money going towards more research? Is the money going towards training? Is the money going towards decolonizing medical system? What is it? Is it going towards more staff? It's all about where the money is going towards, because if it's not going towards the right places, it doesn't matter, because right now they put money towards birth injuries and something to do babies with brain injuries, something along those lines. Okay, so they figured that out, that's done now. So when it comes to Black women, where are you gonna put money? What's it gonna be towards? Is it postnatally? Are you gonna get more health visitors, more GPs? Because we talk about midwife, but it's health visitors, GPs, doctors, student midwife, student doctors, and it's also MSWs and healthcare assistants. MSW stands for maternity support worker. They're all part of it. They're all part of it. It's not just midwives. That's it. Everyone's part of it.
Yeah. Gosh. There's so much potential, because so many, you know, even if we improve any of those people that you've just mentioned, is going to make a difference. There's just, I guess, there's so much you can do. And do we put money into research? Do we put money into better staffing, more training? I guess that's what you guys are trying to figure out and work with MPs. So it is a big job. How do you guys, you know, find the fact that you have your own families and your own businesses, and this is such an important topic. How do you, I hate the word juggle, because I think we throw it around so much, but how do you guys deal with the pressure of running a charity that is such an important topic to yourselves and everybody around you?
At the beginning, there was no boundaries. We wake up at 5 a.m, go to bed at midnight, 5 a.m. So I have a 7-year-old now and a soon to be 5-year-old. And my baby was 5 times more, not my children. Like, as a mother, I know mum guilt is a big thing, but this it's a serious thing where you're not even looking after your kids properly. Every time I want to do something, I'm like, no. I'm doing 5 times more, to the point where my kids were like, I am 5 times more. They knew everything. They knew my script because they kept hearing it. And then it got to a point where me and myself and Tanuka burnt out. I remember one time we had to do a radio call, and Tanuka missed it because she was so tired, because she didn't go to bed early that night. And then her son woke up at night, and that's when we were like, no. We have to put boundaries in place. I know we're trying to get somewhere, especially when you're brand new, you're really trying to get yourself out there and you're passionate. We had to put a stop. And to look at a brand new baby as well, and she was pregnant when we first started, that's the thing, she was actually pregnant. We had to put a stop to it. So now we've got so much boundaries. We work from like 10 to 3. Only if we can do it, we will do it. We try to help everyone out, especially if you're a charity or your mother, but we had to put ourselves first, because we tell women to look after themselves, but yet we're not looking after ourselves. There's days that me and Tanuka went and bath for the whole day, or even brush our teeth. But like, Tanuka, did you brush your teeth today? Like, do it later. Because we were putting everyone else before ourselves. But now boundaries, 3 o'clock, my kids finish at 3:30. You're not going to hear from me unless it's a presentation or event that I pre-scheduled, and even meetings. So because everything's on Zoom, we will literally have meetings back to back to back to back, to the point I was like, Tanuka, did you eat today? Oh no, I forgot. I'm like, we forget to eat. We forget to even drink water. We have put boundaries in place. It's not fair on our kids, and it's not fair on us, you know, and we can't give the women and the birthing people and the health professionals who need us quality care, because we're not looking after, we're just tired. It got to a point where I was like, I need to take a week off, and it's not right. To look, I don't know, you're definitely going to add on to it, but yeah.
It's not a long-term option either, is it? You know, you'd get to a point where you thought, I know this is important and I love it, but I just can't do this anymore, and that would be such a shame.
And we do it about no money as well. We don't get paid. So that's another thing as well. So imagine doing all of this, trying to run a household, or nothing.
Labor of love.
That's a passion. Labor of love.
Labor of love. I think I echo everything Chloe said. It was just getting ridiculous. But that's because I think I mentioned before, but you know, we're so passionate about what we do. I've got Mums and Tea, Chloe's got Prosperities. We love Black women. We love our community. We're so passionate about Black women, Black pregnancy, Black, like, we love it. We love, because of what we do outside of Five Times More, it just makes Five Times More just make more sense, because we're like, we're helping, we're making a difference. When you get those messages, like yesterday, remember Chloe, I sent you a screenshot of someone being like, I use Five Times More and I'm not even pregnant. I went into hospital, I had a bladder infection, and I told them, this is why Black women are dying, you need to listen to me. But she was like, I was able to advocate for myself, I'm not even pregnant. You know, I'm using your steps, I'm using your information, and I'm having a better outcome than what I would have, because they were talking down to me, because I wasn't screaming, I wasn't, you know, they put down, I wasn't in severe pain, just moderate pain, and I show my pain differently to everyone else. But, you know, when you hear stuff like that, how can you stop? Like, how do you stop? But I think for us, it was just making sure that, look, before we can pour into anybody else's cup, ours needs to be filled. And it wasn't, and it was getting so overwhelming. Like Chloe said, personally, when we started Five Times More, and you know, I think that's why, you know what I'm saying, it's about action. I was pregnant with my second child, and I did not want to experience what I experienced the first time round. That's why we had the 5 recommendations, because I was like, ladies, I'm in this with you. Like, I'm pregnant myself. Yes, I know I'm advocating for like Black women dying during childbirth, but I'm actually a Black pregnant woman right now. So, you know, at one point I was heavily pregnant, and then when everything kicked off last year, I had a newborn baby, you know? So it's Zoom meeting back to back. All these things that Chloe was talking about, and it was just like, yeah, I can't do this, otherwise I'm literally going to burn out and I'm not going to be able to do anything. So we had to sit down and talk about the boundaries, because let's not forget, outside of all the businesses we've run and Five Times More and stuff, we do have children, and that's a full-time job in itself. I have a 4-year-old and I have an 18-month-old, and I'm a wife, I run a household as well as the other businesses. Like, look, like, there are so many different things at play here. So yeah, it was very, very difficult at one point, but we've put those boundaries in place, and we've got a bit more tighter with our, you know, with what we want to see happen and what we know we have the time for. So unfortunately, we do have to decline a lot of requests. But wherever possible, we will help organizations and we will help women that need our help. We just try to do what we can. We, in terms of the money and the finance aspect, we rely very heavily on donations and speaking engagements. But apart from that, it's been really difficult because we're small and we're new, you know, CIC, it's not that easy to just get money like that. But thankfully, through the little that we've had, we've been able to do, you know, certain projects and, you know, really just keep working harder towards, you know, closing that gap and making sure that that statistic is just not there anymore. So that comes in the form of, you know, we've got like maternity wallets, and we're doing training now, and, you know, we're just trying to make it work for us, because it wasn't working before. It was just a lot, and it'd be a shame, like you said, to just have to walk away from it because it's taken over our lives, and not in a good way.
And anyone who knows Five Times More, you know, they would be so glad that you put those boundaries in place. You know, they would never ever want to know that behind the scenes, just to support them, you were completely burning out. So I'm so glad that you hit that limit. I think we all hit that wall, don't we? And then we're like, this is not going on for any longer. So how can people support you guys? Obviously with donations, that's so good to know. So anyone listening to this who feels passionately and has been touched by this podcast, please do head to the Five Times More website where there is a donate button. So please do that. But how else can we support you?
By raising awareness, literally raising awareness, you know, anyone that's pregnant that can use our resources. I know we say five times more and we're here for Black women, but we have resources that women can use in general. So in terms of how to make a complaint, your maternity right, your birth options, we have all these free resources on our website that women can just come take a look so you can advocate for yourself. And we even got steps for partners. So if you have a partner, or a friend who wants to help you during birth, we've got steps that they should take to better look after you and how they can advocate for yourself. So on our website, we have so many resources and we've worked with so many different people and have loads of partnerships. So yeah, our website has all the information, but how you can support is by donating if you can, raising awareness, and just, oh, write to your MP actually. You can write to your MP about this. We've got MP template on our website because we're telling everyone to write their MPs to build more awareness. So yeah, that's it. I don't know if you want to add to it, Tanuka, but that was it.
Yeah, no, that's literally it. In terms of, you know, supporting the campaign, we recently had our awareness week. We do have certain, you know, campaigns and things that we push via social media, and we obviously have our newsletter and stuff, so you can keep up to date with that as well. In April, we'll be doing April advocacy. So there are different touch points, especially during the year, that you can get involved with. If you sign up to our newsletter or you know, just follow us on social media or look at our website, we'll be as kept up to date as possible. But yeah, like, we appreciate, you know, everything. Literally everyone's support so far has really got us to where we are. She's really excited singing.
I can hear clap that.
Yeah. Support us, please. We need support.
How can you not look at her and not support?
Yeah. Well, at the end of the day, it's for her, isn't it? You know, she will grow up to be a Black woman, and we really hope that she doesn't have the same risks that my mum had and I had. You know, we really do want this to change for the future, for us now, and obviously for the little ones. There.
So,
yeah. Also helping Black women means that you're helping all women as well, because like we said, we're the one dying, so helping us is helping all women, you know.
Yeah
that's just a great way to finish the podcast. So wow, thank you so much. That's just been so insightful, and I hope that it has kind of opened up so many people's eyes who maybe weren't aware of the issue, and I really hope for you and for everyone that this does get moved forwards and we do start to notice a change soon, you know, in our lifetime, not just for the next generation. So anyone listening, if you can help in any way, please do. Do also check out the 5x6 steps. We haven't gone into those in depth, but they can find those on your website, can't they? Which is just ways that you can make sure that you are heard, you can advocate for yourself, and that you understand your rights. But let's hope that more and more comes out very soon that can support Black women and birthing people. So thank you both so much, especially we've been trying to get this in the diary for so long, and I'm really glad that you waited until it was the right time for you. And I really, really appreciate it. And thank you so much for showing up and agreeing to be on camera as well.
Thank you, Holly. This was a fantastic episode. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye, Eden. Thank you so much for being in the back, and you've been such a good girl.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Firstly, I want to say a huge thank you to my guests today for being so open and honest about personal topics on such a public platform. That takes real bravery and will help so many others. I genuinely believe that one person's honesty can help free many. If you found today's episode helpful, please do head to the show notes to find links and support our guests feel may be useful. Secondly, this podcast can only help those who know about it. If you enjoyed this podcast, it would mean so much to me if you could rate us with a 5-star rating and leave us a review, or hit follow to be the first to hear when our next episode lands. While podcasts are easy to listen to, they take a lot of effort to create, and your support in sharing Bun in the Oven will help me encourage more guests to join me for future episodes. Thank you so much for listening to this episode, and enjoy the rest of your day.